Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Lookout Podcast. I'm here at the University of Montana in front of the venue for the 106th Foresters Ball. I'm joined by Kosen, who's the Chief Push this year.
Yeah.
And the Publicity Officer, Katie.
That's me.
Did I get that right?
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me. I appreciate you coming back, Kosen. And I guess I'll let you kind of kick off on the theme. And here's a t-shirt for folks.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us back, Luke. We really appreciate it. We had a blast last year with Jaden and I talking to you. And then your coverage of the ball was just incredible. And I don't know, you're a mentor to us now. So thanks for having us.
Those are heavy words, my friend. I don't know if I deserve them, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So as you can see, that's the design for the 106 Foresters ball. And I will let Katie talk about more of the publicity side. But yeah, as you can see, we have a smoke jumper and a Neptune aircraft making a drop on a fire. And the theme this year is tankers dumping and crews a jumping. So it's highlighting some firefighting, aviation, and smoke jumping and everything fire.
Yeah, and like we talked to before, Kosen, like it's the 75th anniversary of the Mangulch tragedy. So we were talking that was kind of part of the theme, right? Part of the, the direction, I guess, of the theme, I guess, is what we're looking for.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So I and a couple of other students served on the 75th, the Remembrance Committee.
Oh, yeah, very
so
cool.
So with the Forest Service, NSA, and a couple of other agencies, and the student side of the project, kind of most of the stuff happened in Helen, obviously, since that's where Mangulch is. But the student side of the project, we designed 13 signs.
Oh.
Remembering the 13 jumpers.
Yeah.
And six of which were actually UM students. So it hits home pretty hard here. And those of us in the College of Forestry actually sat in the same seats.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to the same classes, and we have not the same professors, obviously, but same curriculum. And it's a lot of it hasn't changed. So it's pretty important here on campus. And it's not forgotten, but it's definitely not talked about enough. So we wanted to bring that back and have an aspect of that on campus.
Totally. Man, that's a good point. I never thought about that because, the building is that old, you know? I didn't think they were walking the same hallways as you guys.
Yeah.
Man, that is, it's a little heavier when you think about it that way.
Yeah, and that's like when we floated the idea last year, we were talking and looked around and we're like, we are literally sitting in the exact same, like the same carvings are on the desks. And our original idea was like paint 13 chairs in that room and then have six of them in like Forest Service green, but they were a little old and we didn't want to deface them or anything, and it would have been tough work. So we figured 13 signs would have been a good homage to them and good remembrance. So
exactly, like you said, good remembrance, because it's there's a lot going on these days, and ever since then, even it's at first I think they're maybe trying to forget a little bit, like most people, it's just natural human nature, just to
be suppressive.
Something terrible happens, and to people that the fire world even today is a tight community, and the forestry college and forestry profession is pretty tight knit. We have these Teams calls with people across the whole nation, that are exchanging ideas with partners and everybody who's involved with these outdoor whether it's like timber or fuel reductions, all these things that happen across the nation, so we're all connected, and back then it's even tighter with like less people, and so I could definitely understand where you're like, well, we got a job to do here, so we got to keep moving on, and at the time you don't really want to build memorials, I imagine, and then but that's what's good about like what you guys are doing, and what I feel like the rest of us are doing with the Forest Service is bringing them back and make sure they're not forgotten, because we the National Smoke Trooper Association put these medallions on each headstone this year, and it was kind of cool to see that smoke jumpers are represented across the nation. There's one who's laid to rest in New York, and I think there's one down in like the South somewhere, I'm trying to remember, maybe Kentucky. And then, we had one down here in Darby, and I got to help do the memorial for that one. So
I remember seeing that.
It was very cool. Miss Montana flew over, and the same plane that dropped him that day. So that's, pretty nuts how all these things kind of came together. I didn't know about, Miss Montana's right next to the jump base when I was there.
Yeah.
Didn't think about it. And then, last year doing the podcast with you and Jaden, and didn't think about it, And then all of a sudden the 75th is here, and then, just sitting down with you guys, and you bring that up. I was like, whoa, never thought about it,
Yeah.
Man, that's cool. How old is the building, do you know?
1921, I believe.
Yeah.
I remember looking at it before, we were even thinking about incorporating Mangulch and the 75th into it, and being like, oh, we just missed maybe 22. I can't remember. Yeah. We just missed the 100th anniversary, and I thought that would have been kind of cool to like build out the building in the ball or something like that. But yeah, I remember thinking about that. But yeah, it's over 100 years old, so it's pretty. It's got some stories. It's pretty storied. So.
Yeah, got some character, and then even the that big wagon thing out front for was it?
Yeah,
for
the high
logs?
Wheels. Yeah, we're actually this might be jumping the gun a little bit, but we're gonna try and rebuild that a little bit in the spring. Really? Yeah, once ball settles and. Yeah, so we're looking for donations for, I think it's the Tang is what it's called, that runs all the way through. It's like 20-something feet long.
Yeah, we...
Unfortunately, it snapped off.
Oh, no.
I know that we had talked to... Oh, I don't remember his name. He runs his own little, like, demolition, like, reclaiming old wood.
Oh.
And he had something that, like, might work. So I think we're still looking, obviously, but, like, we have a few leads.
Nice.
But we've been working on that all semester.
Did this person work for the Forest Service? Do you know?
I don't know his background that much. We went for a lab in one of my classes, and he just showed us around his workshop.
Oh, cool.
And basically all he does is goes out and just takes down old buildings and then uses the reclaimed wood as, like, antique wood. And it's a great market right now, so.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, it looks good anywhere. You know, like, find, like, an old, beam in, like, an old cabin and you make it a mantle or something. And it preserves that beam from rotting in the woods and you get to kind of show it off and, like, you know, give it another second life.
Yeah. Speaking of that, our flooring in the ball is, we might have talked about this last year, but.
Good transition.
It's the original flooring from the gym at UM, which is crazy. And it's cut up into 4x8 chunks, and we move it manually into the gym, and that protects the actual gym floor, the current gym floor. But it's old growth larch from 120 years ago.
Whoa, the color on it is amazing.
It's crazy.
It is.
It's crazy.
Like, I'd forgotten, because I hadn't seen the ball in forever when I came in to, you know, take some photos and just do, like, some photos and social media stuff for the ball last year. And looking at the floor, I was like, holy cow, this stuff looks amazing.
Yeah.
It aged so well. And was that, do you guys know, was that floor in this gym or was that gym before this gym?
I believe it was before.
I thought it was before.
I think it's before. That's, I think, a rumor it's I heard. Over by the Adams Center, but I'm not exactly sure. Yeah.
That's a rumor I heard, that it was actually, like, predates this gym.
Yeah, I think it does.
Super
cool,
because this gym's pretty old.
Yeah. I think this gym and the Forestry Building were built either at the same time or around the same time. And I think the old gym, kind of over where the Adams Center, that might be completely wrong, but I believe that's where.
No, I bet you're right. Cause the Adams Center and even, like, Washington Grizzly Stadium are a little newer. So. Mm-hmm. I think everything used to be kind of like in the oval area, at least the football field, like, originally.
It was actually right back here. It might have been the oval, but it was right back here where that parking garage is, which is crazy looking at pictures.
Oh, I think, you're right. I was getting dyslexic.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
It is wild. Yeah, cause I think, is it the mall? Have you guys seen that where you go, like, to the bathrooms in the mall and there's, like, a ton of old photos from Mozilla?
Yeah, that wall.
The
South
mall
Gate.
Mall.
Yeah, the mall mall. Really? Yeah, Southgate
we'll
Mall.
Check that out.
Yeah, it's wild because, like, you know, I went in the bathroom one time and my wife's like, where have you been? Like, you got to go down this hallway.
I got lost.
Like, no idea. Yeah, and I'd been in there a ton of times and I was just like, this is incredible.
They've got a bunch of random spot for that. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of old photos of downtown Missoula and businesses that, I don't know if the same buildings, different businesses, obviously, but you can kind of pick out where they are. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, because there's that old garage that's still down there.
Yeah.
And kind of by a whole Big of Pizza and all that down there.
Yeah.
And it's, so that hasn't really changed. That, you know, that's kind of like how I can, you know, like my compass rose, I guess, is like, all right, that place is still there. And then I kind of branch out from there and I'm like, oh, I know where this is. And this, you know, it's very cool. But yeah, so I could see it being over that way, especially if the gym was right there by the parking garage, man, or the football field. I mean, and I was gonna ask: does it weigh a ton? The floor?
More.
Yeah.
More than a ton. It's on a 53-foot trailer.
All of the flooring fills
the trailer.
Yeah. Oh, whoa!
Yeah, like the ball owns a 53-foot semi-trailer, and that is what the floor lives on.
Holy
cow. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, the photos that you guys posted from last year, like, of all the students carrying just, like, the one square, I was you could see it's, like, that's no joke.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the floor is heavy, but the heavier parts are the false fronts.
Mm-hmm.
The walls that we put up around the walls of the gym, usually behind the buildings. So if you go when it's all built up, you don't, well, I guess you see them in some buildings, but most of the buildings are built out from them. But those are heavy.
Oh, I bet. Hold it. Those are probably really old, huh, too?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I know some of them have been rebuilt. But it's same, like, a couple years ago, we modified the bar front, so mm-hmm. it's not two stories.
Oh.
Because it was, we'd link them all together and then lift them.
Oh.
Using, like, a winch and pulley system. And some of the alumni were just like, this is not happening anymore. Yeah. This is way too dangerous. Yeah. And, like, let's be smarter, work a little more on the ground and then pull it up instead of, okay, let's link it together and then have this two-story full wood construction above kids.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we modified that. So I know they've gone through some transitions, but I think they're all pretty similarly aged.
Oh, cool. They all look to be about the same age, painted around the same time. I mean, there are a few that are a little bit more beat up than others, but, yeah. I mean...
90s?
Yeah, they got some they got some miles on them. That's for sure.
They do, yeah. They've seen some balls.
Yeah. Well put. And the ball is essentially like a logging town, like a mini logging town, right?
1890s, right? Is that the right?
Yeah.
Logging town. I guess I don't know what Charlie, our construction officer's buildings are this year, but previous years, you know, we obviously have the bar. We have
our chapel.
Yeah. We've had a barber shop in the more recent years.
They're coming back.
Yeah, the barbershops are coming back.
That's super popular,
too. That is really cool.
Yep. And then, obviously, Classic Museum, where we have all of our history put up.
That's an awesome part, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a few different clubs around campus help us with some buildings. So there are other buildings that have changed over the years, depending on what club helps out with them. Last year, we had our merch at... like the bank area, and it was like the Wildlife Society that was helping, so they had a bunch of furs in.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was like a like a mercantile.
Yeah, that's right.
It was pretty cool. They had furs and then sheds hung up, and we'd have our merch like interspersed. It was really, really cool. They did a really good job with
it. I love it. Well, I like that it's not sterile. Like, it's not the same thing every year, you know? Like, and I think there's so much that even if it was, it'd be kind of hard to pick it up because you're like, oh, wow, like, was this here last year?
Yeah.
You know, even if it was, it's hard to pick it up. Like, at least for me, I'd seen it a few times, but then, like, walking around last year in construction, I was like, whoa, this is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of, like, worrying about dropping something on somebody, I was roaming around like an idiot without a hard hat, and I'm like, huh. Like, I didn't even notice everyone else was wearing a hard hat but me, and I'm just sitting there taking photos like a tourist, and like finally one of the students came up and was like, can you wear this? I was like, oh yeah, my hat. I'm an idiot, so this year I'm gonna bring my hard hat.
Yeah, bring it. We'll have a load if you want to come and help build or anything. We'll have a load, but the safety folks on campus really like for us to push that, so
makes sense,
understandably so. I mean you get a lot of people with nails, hammers, chainsaws, power tools, and everyone's on ladders or scaffolding. So some things can go wrong, but we do our best to mitigate it. So
You guys do a great job. And like you guys were saying, the bar front's pretty high up, and the last year there's a lookout tower, and
it's
pretty high up.
Trying to bring that back.
Oh, really? That's very cool.
Yeah. Yes. I guess another segue. It's gonna be like an observation booth this year.
Ooh.
So we're actually gonna try and get people into it.
Yeah.
And in that area is where those 13 signs are gonna go. So it's going to be like the Man Gulch, like observation area, like looking over the ball, take some time up there, reflect on the people who were here before us and read some about those people, and then go have a good night. So
very cool. Look for the bullet holes in the ceiling. I mean,
exactly.
Have you guys heard that story?
I mean, I think we talked about it last year.
I think so too. And I didn't really know. I think we probably talked about it like in depth a little bit, but we covered so much stuff I kind of forgot. And then one of the alumni, I was talking to him today, and his name's Matt Young, and he was a smoke jumper as well.
Oh, sweet.
And he's like, he gave me the rundown. He's like, yeah, back in the day, she'd like bring guns, and someone thought it was a good idea to shoot some off in the middle of the bar, in the middle of the ball. And I guess they stopped it real quick. But
yeah, that's,
I can imagine.
That's so funny. I was talking to a family member over break, and they grew up in Missoula, and they were growing up in Missoula around the time when ball kind of had that, you know, pretty rowdy, hillbilly, crazy, drinking, you know, everything. Craziness kind of reputation. And he, when he heard that I was an officer, he was very concerned. He was like, oh, I didn't know ball's still happening. And I was like, oh yeah, it's different now than what you probably remember it being. And that's, I think, something that I've worked on with publicity this year, and I'm sure that the last, I don't know, 5-10 years have probably also been trying to get out of that stereotype of being the rowdy, crazy ball that it used to be, which it was probably great fun then. Just times are different.
Yeah, exactly. Totally getting with the time. You like watching an old Western movie, right? Yeah. Like the saloons are a little more rowdier, but they're just like kind of, I mean, they, you know, probably Hollywood it up a little bit, but
sure.
There's some truth probably in it, you know? And
yeah.
And like you said, the times back then, people were just a little more rowdy, probably less rules. And
yeah.
And now it's, you know, changed with the times. And I think that is something that we all, yeah, every generation has to deal with the generation before them, that, like what they did, and and, you know, maybe do a little cleanup and just kind of change things a little bit to fit the times. And I mean, even with the, like the fire crews and stuff, and and now with the ball, and I didn't think about it going in, but I'd kind of heard that too, because like I think a few people were a little frustrated about it being in the Adams Center for a minute because of like how rowdy it could be.
Yeah.
And when I went, you know, it just seemed like a really good time. Like if you're going to like what is it? The saloon here in town. It's like a
Sunrise.
The Sunrise, yeah. Yeah, it just seemed like a big, like a big version of like being at the Sunrise. Yeah, yep. Maybe a little bit rowdier, but like nothing too off the wall. But I think because
that
of
makes sense
because
they worked with them a lot during that time.
Oh,
so
yeah. Hey, there it is. Yeah. Totally made that connection.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that bad, you know. But I think it still had the, you know, the reputation of being, you know, pretty off the wall. So
yeah.
And even when I tell people about the ball, I was like, no, it's great. I mean, it's like, you go check it out, you know.
Yeah.
Buy some tickets and, you know, share you guys the links, and it's like, just, you don't stay all night, you know, go at least experience it, because
yeah,
like, and I don't even jump the gun on what you guys want to talk about, but I was just thinking like the live band, the Can-Can Girls, the barber getting married, all the things.
There's a lot of things that I think people either forget about or don't know about that are a lot more I wouldn't go as far as saying it's always family friendly, but like it's really fun to go with your partner to go get married, or it's fun to go dance with live music. Like there's a lot of things that you can just go and watch too. Like you don't even have to participate in any of this stuff. I mean, it's a lot more, like there's a lot more that people can do that maybe they don't know about or just forget about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to have like a crazy night. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's so much to see. Like, you guys were talking about the museum and, you know, like, even just walking through everything. Like, last year I followed Jaden around, and I'll try to do the same thing with you guys and follow you around. And this year I'm going to make a little adjustment because you couldn't barely hear Jaden, and it wasn't her fault. I didn't know the range of my cell phone because I just had gotten it. So I was like, kind of like interface with it and then be like, oh, that's too much. And then, like, you kind of lose the content. So I'm going to, I got an external speaker for this thing, so I'll just have you guys like walk with it and I'll record and
show and tell.
It'd be great. Except the video turned out great, just the audio was not there. But even just that, I mean, like Jaden walking around with me, I mean, that took, like 15 minutes of her just pointing things out, and then I went back through just to like slow down and like check things out because it is so cool. Everything is awesome.
Yeah.
And we talked about it a lot because I love the smell of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, if I could get this Airstream to smell like that, I'd be one happy man. That and coffee. I love this. Two of my favorite smells. Because, like, you guys go and get trees from the Lubrec. Is that where you guys get them?
Yep.
And then all the pine smell and the tree boughs and stuff. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So everything, or most everything, except for the slabs, those are the only things that we don't procure ourselves. So we have a ton of awesome donors down in the Bitterroot, all the log home builders. They donate piles and piles of slabs. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive what's behind Schreiber right now.
Yeah.
But the poles we pull off of Lubrecht, and then the fir trees we pull off of Lubrecht as well.
Oh, cool.
And the fir trees this year, in years past, we go up this coming weekend, so the first weekend of January, or the first weekend that we're back in January, and we'll go cut them in the snow, and we use that as like a saw training day, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Cutting in the snow often leads to high stumps, though.
Oh, true.
Which is not fun.
Yeah, true.
So we started cutting in December before it snowed, and we actually turned it into a thinning project.
Oh, good call.
On the student-led section at Lubrecht. So that it worked out really well, and I think a lot of people got a lot of good experience, and we got the trees we needed.
Yeah. I don't even know how many. We've got a
500,
ton,
I think.
Of trees out there, and we have a ton of freshmen that are joining slowly.
Oh, cool.
I know that we've talked about this before. When you just started coming to Forestry Club and doing ball stuff, it was really small,
like 6 people doing things.
And so that was only a few years ago, and we've gotten at least 20 freshmen this year.
I think we have
probably more.
30 to 50 people every Wednesday night.
Yeah,
coming to meetings.
So it's
the growth's awesome.
You guys are doing a great job. That's awesome.
Just doing our best.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think there's a lot of draw from, like, just the really great leadership that we've had in the last few years.
We've been set up really
well. Yeah. So just all those freshmen getting to go out up to Lubricht, which is, you know, the UM's forest, and getting more people up there that care about it is really great for me to see, because I know that Lubricht has kind of been on an interesting path with the UM for a while. So it's not super well known anymore, and we want to bring that back. Like, there used to be a class that students could go, they like went up and lived there for a semester.
Whoa.
And could like learn on like hands-on stuff, which we still do in labs, but like living up at Lubricht is such a different experience.
Totally.
But it's exciting to know that we're getting, you know, the younger generations, the freshmen, the transfers, all those kids up to Lubricht, so that they kind of know what they have up there.
Yeah, 100%. And to add a little bit to what you guys are saying, like the thinning, you know, like going up there and getting all these people great experience. It's so fun to be in the woods. And I mean, talk about a great smell. I mean, you know, like cutting a green tree is awesome, because the smell's amazing. You get a little covered in sap. It's a little dirty that way. But like it's a cool thing. And for people who don't know, the thinning is actually healthy for the forest. So like you're making a better ecosystem up there, and you're getting to use the trees again for the ball, which... You know, sometimes we just burn them, or, you know, wherever they might end up. But
Missoula compost.
Missoula compost. Yeah, exactly. So they get a second life there, I guess. Yeah. And then also, you know, inviting freshmen out to come, and maybe they stick around, maybe they don't, but at least it gives them an option to see, like, because to me, college is about like trying to figure out where you want to be, right? Like,
100%.
Because you got to, you know, most retirements are 20 years. So it's like, where do you want to spend the next 20 years of your life? Like, do you want to be inside? Do you want to be... You know, I mean, you could go to the pharmacy, like, especially here, you go to forestry, like you guys are doing, and you just kind of figure out where you want to be. And for some people, they don't really want to be outside all the time.
Right.
So, you know, like, you got other options, and you can find out in the forestry program.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
oh, maybe this isn't for me. Or maybe, like, this is where I want to be, and this is what I want to do. So,
yeah, we try and get people out as early as possible.
Yeah.
So we really hit it in the spring, in the fall semester. Like, all obviously, majority of us either worked fire or forestry for the summer. So we came back. We had like 2 weeks, and then we got people out to Lubricht immediately.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then that, I mean, it's nice because that coincides with the burning season. So we got a ton of prescribed burns in, and obviously not as many as we would have liked, but.
The burn windows were a little weird this fall.
They were, yeah. So it coincided well, and we got people out there and had some really good events. And then Ball's kind of doing the same thing this semester.
Yeah.
Ball's happening 2 weeks in the semester. So we kind of have that build up to it, and then people can see if they like it or not. And. Yeah. If they want to be a part of it, and if they do, then come on back, and we'd love to have you.
Yeah.
And then we have another burn season in the spring,
which
is perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. And especially, you know, some of the footage I saw from, like, you guys in the what's the other club? It's like FCM.
The fire club?
Or, is that what it is? And they post a little bit, or it's a Missoula club.
UM Safe.
Yeah, oh, maybe that's...
Yeah, the fire club.
Yeah. And so, like, some of the posts are similar to what you guys are putting up and probably doing the same thing, but it's very cool to see. And then also, like, I think being able to burn at a young age, you know, I didn't get to do it, and seeing how fire reacts and getting a little more comfortable with fire before you, like, get out and start fighting the fire.
An actual job,
It's I think it's cool. Like, I was a little older, and, you know, I've been on construction sites and stuff, so I wasn't as, like... It wasn't as overwhelming, but it can be kind of overwhelming, you know, like, especially on a big burn that you don't, and if you're doing like aerial ignition where there's a lot of noise and like some pretty good flame length, you're like, oh, is this good? Are we good?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're looking around, all these old guys are just like chilling, you know, like done it a million times.
Yeah.
Katie, do you work fire in the summer? Or?
No, I had an opportunity to work for the Forest Service, but they have recently been cutting back. I was going to be a forestry tech, but so I haven't had a chance to work a forestry gig quite yet. But I plan on doing some kind of fire. I was kind of looking at the 9 Mile area.
We'll see if I can 9 Mile's great.
It's a good ranger district.
It is, yeah.
So
beautiful.
I was going to get hired on with them until I took that forestry gig and then fell through. But
not so nice.
Not so nice, but it's okay. You know.
Stuff happens for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking for a few jobs this summer that'll kind of get me more into the forestry internship area.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough right now with the budget of the whole forest service is tight right now. So
threw a few of us for a loop for sure.
Yeah, because you know, especially this program is probably a great feeder program for a lot of those positions. But yeah, I know they're still trying to do some like internship stuff, but it'd be nice if you get like a seasonal position, because then usually that goes like as soon as you graduate, you can turn that into a permanent position and start climbing the ladder that way.
Yeah.
Are you still with the DNRC?
I am. Yeah, awesome. And I'm planning on going back this summer. I work over for the state helitech crew out of Missoula. It's very a blast. Cool. Got a great crew, and this will be my second full year. I detailed 2 years ago, had a full season last year, and then going back this year. So,
oh, awesome! What a great opportunity, especially all the travel you get to do, right?
Yeah, I love flying around too. Yeah. I went home for my sister's graduation, and people were like, "Oh, how's your summer been?" And I was like, "I've been flying around, like."
Getting some of the best views in the
world.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then immediately went out after that. So it's just been, I can't think of a better college job than being out in the woods and fighting fire or going marking timber or cruising timber or doing something like that. It's just an incredible opportunity to do it at such a young age, like you mentioned. So
Yeah, totally. And you know, kind of see where you might want to end up, and you're not like married to anything at this point.
Yeah, it's great. So not even graduated, and you have multiple different avenues that you can go down. And then, like you said, find that has that good retirement, and then attack that.
Yeah, work towards that, and then usually it's more of a like inspiration or passion project versus like a grind where it's like,
I gotta do this.
Yeah, I got these loans or whatever, you know, debt that you gotta try to pay off, or you're trying to buy a house and you're like trying to just get in the grind, and it's a little rougher if you gotta do it that way.
Right. I think something that really drew me to this program is that there's a lot of like supporting programs that go with the forestry department, because they've got wildlife, they've got environmental science, there's a new climate change minor coming up, like, and major coming up. So it's like there's a ton of different avenues you could go down. You could go down forestry, you could go down fire, you could go down, you know, wildlife or whatever is your fancy. There's just so much opportunity for you to choose that here, and a lot of them go well together. Some, like, a lot of the credits overlap, and so it's really easy to kind of switch. I mean, later on maybe it's a little bit harder, but
it pays off in, you know, I've been in the Forest Service since 2008, so quite a while now. So it all translates. So, and then once you get in the Forest Service, you can do details, which is kind of similar. So you can go do like 120-day detail and do it, something that maybe you don't have a background in, but as long as you get your foot in the door with a detail opportunity, you know, you go do that for 120 days, put in your resume, and then you show you got the experience. You can, if you really want to go that route and change it up, you can do that. You know, you can apply for it and actually compete and probably get the job that way.
Yeah.
So that's another great thing about like the Forest Service, and you know, I imagine a lot of the other like DNRC and BLM are the same way, but can't speak to that because I haven't worked for those guys yet. But yeah, great opportunity out there, and it, you know, like if you want to switch agencies too, you know, like Forest Service, BLM, state, it, you know, transition's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that too. I mean, I was going to tie in something else about the forestry major, but. Blanking on, because I started thinking about all the different agencies.
Yeah.
But so the ball's on January, back to the ball, I guess. Is January 31st?
Yes.
Oh,
so
sorry, I'm asking you, Katie.
Put me on the spot. So it's Saturday, January 31st, and I said that wrong. Friday, January 31st, and Saturday, February 1st. So it's in between the 2 months, and it's 7 to midnight, both nights.
Yep.
The doors do close at 11, but that's only an hour before we actually close the ball. So
that's pretty cool. So
you can come in an hour before the ball is over.
So you're at the fire and ice game on Friday, and you decide you want to go to the ball afterwards.
Tying in the last show.
For sure. You can get
great way to finish your night.
You can get tickets now, or you can get them at the door, but we sell one in, one out. So if it's busy, you might not get in.
Highly recommend getting them.
Yeah, get them beforehand
on GrizzTix.
That's a good point. Yeah, because then you know, like, if you're gonna go for sure. Get them.
You should
early.
Definitely get them now. You can also get them in person at the UC.
Mm-hmm.
Not this week, but the next week. We'll be there basically all day, every day up until we start construction. So
perfect.
You can get your merch there too.
Which is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rep the merch.
That's yes. great.
And it's a great way to remember, because otherwise, like the ball I went to at the Adams Center, I didn't get anything like an idiot. So now I'm like, what ball happened? Was that? Well, when was that even? You know, like if I would have got something, it's probably 90 something. It was so long ago, like the 95th or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But now I don't know. It's a mystery.
Right.
But if you got a shirt, you know, it says 106 right on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a great event. And I was going to say, too, like, I like the idea of having it at the end of January and the beginning of February, because it's like in January on a high note and then start off February on a high note.
Yeah.
So, and it's a great time of year. I mean, usually things are cold and there's not a lot going on this time of year typically. And, you know, unless you're skiing and that's, you know, during the day anyway. So might as well fill your evening with a great event.
Yeah, it's perfect. And then we talked about kind of family friendliness earlier, but on Saturday midday, we hold Community Forestry Day, and this year it's actually been planned by the Missoula City chapter of the SAF.
Oh.
So we're incorporating some other cohorts and partners into it, which has been awesome. But that's basically, if you want insight into the ball and want to come walk around and check it out without a crazy party and this live music going on, come on by. So it's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah. And this one's definitely more family friendly than the actual ball. Yep. So.
Yeah, I went last year, and like my nephews came, and my kiddo came, you know, I brought my kiddo all my nephews came last year. So it was really cool. He said family friendly. Monty was there.
Yeah.
And Smokey. And, and then all the little games that were out there too.
Yeah, I think the DNRC, FWP, Forest Service might be there. I believe the BLM is going to send a representative, and then a ton of private agencies as well. So I think Blackfoot Challenge, TNC may be there, but land management agencies and companies and just people from around Western Montana who would like to get their word out there and that are related to the field.
Man, I mean, speaking of like careers, like having that connection too, with just like some land management groups around here, because that's kind of the word I was looking for earlier. We were talking about, like, you know, being a forestry major, you getting these land management positions that are super cool, because you're getting to like have an impact. Like, you can see it, like, even if it's like long term, you're like, oh yeah, I got to help with that restoration project, or you know, like wild and urban interface is kind of what we deal with fire stuff out here, and if you got to be part of some of the thinning projects around here, and I think it's really cool to be like, I kind of help make the community a little safer, you know, have a little hand in it.
We like the fire club, as we were talking about earlier, last spring we helped out with the fire for surrogate burns up at Lubrecht. So I mean, that's a 20 plus year study that the Forest Service is doing, and a lot of the research is happening at the fire lab, which is really cool to be a part of. But yeah, it was super special, because I think the last time they burned them was 2001. I might be wrong about that. 2001 or 2004, I believe.
Man.
So right around when we were being born, which is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Or when I was graduating high school. But that is cool, right around when you guys were being born.
So it was like wild to be like, wow, this is the last time this unit was burned. I can't even comprehend. And depending on what the treatment was, they'd have either been thinned or haven't been touched since. So it was cool to go back and make another entry into those. So
that is so cool, because like that's so special about this place. Like, we talk about it quite a bit, but I think it's people kind of have to see it, I think, and be able to get their hands on it like you guys are doing. And just me being an older Forest Service guy now, and be able to like see what you guys are talking about, because a lot of times when you fight fire, you go on a landscape that hasn't had any treatments. It hasn't had fire or anything, attending nothing. And then usually you get this fire that's out of control. And we're doing our best to try to like, you know, tame it and get it contained. And then, you know, then you go back and you try to educate folks on why this fire was so aggressive and why we had such a hard time getting a handle on it versus, you know, the treatments like you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
And then to see like, well, they did this back then, how did it hold up? You know, like, that is super cool.
Yeah. It was really cool to be a part of, and selfishly, I was like super stoked because I got to do FEMO stuff on it.
Oh yeah!
And I called my boss on the first day of the burns, and by the second day, I had my task book, and the third day, I got to help out with FEMO stuff. So,
yeah.
And we burned it 3 consecutive days, which was like almost unheard of for that. Yeah. So it worked out really, really well.
Yeah, totally. You had to have that kind of burn windows too.
Like, and then it snowed on top of that.
Oh, what a great finish.
The fourth day, I think it snowed. So, like, turned into, like, a mud bog. But
you got that coming. But everything was all contained at that point, right?
And
you
was good.
Yeah, burned everything you wanted to at that point.
And you guys did that 2 semesters ago now?
No, that was...
Was it?
Or, yeah, I guess now it is.
It is 2.
It was, I think, April of 24.
Yeah, because gotcha. I got to go see it this last semester for mm-hmm. one of my, I keep talking about my labs, I keep going out in the woods, crazy. Yeah, hey. So I got to actually see like a little bit of the aftermath of those burns and like how everything is kind of evened out.
Yeah.
And it's so pretty up there. I mean, some of the you know, the thinning and burned areas is just gorgeous. Yeah. It's so cool. Yeah. To see
it also burned magnificently.
Like, yeah.
It was great.
Oh, so that's perfect.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Some of the conditions, I think the second day was probably the best. It was just like fire moving across the litter layer and
everything was consuming just right.
Some torching.
Yeah. Nothing get out of hand. And
that was good. It was fun.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And for folks who maybe haven't experienced this, you can Google it and you'll get like a before and after. So you get like something that looks not so appealing, you know, like after a burn, but then you get like the spring photo and the, like you said, the regrowth.
So oh, pretty.
My. Yeah.
Nice
yeah.
grasses yeah. and forbs and plants.
Yeah, and
really,
see,
really nice.
Yeah, and you can see why animals like flock to that area after it comes back. Is like all the abundance has come back. Is like being over from over by Whitehall, you know, mm-hmm. that Butte corridor between Helena and Butte is all that lodgepole, and it really needs to burn. It's all done down, jackstrawed, and nothing lives in there. Like a lot of people, I think they're thinking like, oh, well, that's great because all the animals are happy in this area that is untouched. It's like, no, they're not happy because
they can't get through.
They can't get through it because if a human can't get through it, most animals don't want to be there either, you know. And then the understory is covered with all that litter, so it's not really growing anything either that the animals want to get into, like you know, grasses for eating. And so, like, it's not really that great for anybody.
No.
That's what we, so the poles that we use for ball, most of them come from a lodgepole stand up above the Blackfoot.
Oh, cool.
And there are some really gnarly areas up there, and it's just jackstrawed, and I mean you're like climbing over, so that's another thing. A lot of the we don't even drop that many trees when we do that. A lot of the a lot of the poles come off because we want them light, so we want them dead.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the stuff on the ground is more manageable.
It works
really, really well.
Yeah, it's already down there. You just cut it up.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yep. Okay, take your tape and mark it, crayon it, cut it, go. It's perfect.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yep.
Man, that reminded me, I was up there this fall. We were trying to make it to Garnet Ghost Town.
Mm-hmm.
So we were driving through, and I did not realize, like, I knew there was larch up there, but holy cow, in the fall when it's turning.
Blows up.
Oh, It is amazing.
I've got some really great photos from us coming back. Just of the mountainside and all these larch are turning. It's great. I love it. It's so pretty.
Yeah, I love spending time. Like every fall, I go up with my girlfriend into the Swan and up by Lindbergh and Holland, and it's just incredible.
Oh man, we had a pretty mild fall this year, as you guys know. Me and the family
70s in October.
We were camping, you know, in October, and like most of the campsites, you know, were kind of closed down, but they were still available. So we were going up to like just south of Sealy, and like you guys were saying, holy cow, I mean, wake up every morning, these beautiful larch just like beaming, and with this lake and this cool valley, and the Holland area is super special.
Gorgeous. Super gorgeous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get even up that way around Holland there?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think.
You gotta check it out.
Yeah, I should go up there.
Well, you got plenty of time. You're
young. Yeah.
You're a Bitterroot gal, too.
Yeah, so. I know. I usually stuck in the Bitterroot. I'd go down to like Como a lot, down in the Darby area.
There's some really good larch around Como. Like when it starts changing. And the cool thing about larch is you don't even really notice them until they change. Yeah. And all of a sudden, just like that. And all of a sudden, like the swath of like larch surrounded by this beautiful sea of green.
Yep.
The contrast is so amazing. And sometimes you get a little bit of dusting of snow around that time of year, too. So you get this cool blend of color. And then, like with Como or anywhere up in the Sealy Swan area, it's you get the reflection of these cool lakes. And it's
gorgeous.
Amazing.
Super good. Cool.
And talking about the fall of the Lubrecht, just all the seasons up there got to be amazing. Cause I've been through it and not really like into it though. I just passed it going to like my grandma lived up by Craig, Montana, where the Dearborn comes in Missouri.
Oh, yeah,
so I go up Highway 200 all the time. And so I'd be driving through there and I'd be like, man, I wish I knew about this. Like being from Butte, I didn't really know about the forestry program. I didn't know about the Lubrecht and it. And now that I do, I'm like, man, that's a cool opportunity. So, like, you guys telling your stories, like, you keep, you know, just bringing up your labs. I think it's awesome. Like, keep bringing it up because it's, I think people, it's great for people to hear because if I would have heard this, I'm like, as a kid, I'm like, oh, wow.
I'll go do that.
Be outside for sure.
It's definitely, I started school up in Dillon.
Oh, really?
At the satellite, And I was going into education, which I loved. I love working with kids. But just the admin and the being inside was totally not my thing. And when I came here, I originally was a environmental science major, and we went up and did like a, we stayed the night up at Lubricht. I don't remember what. Really? Yeah, I can't remember why. It was like a orientation awesome? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
We stayed up there, and I wasn't really interested in any of like the speakers. I was just more interested in being out in the woods.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, maybe I'll try forestry. And I changed it, and I started taking the class, and I was like, oh, this is the shit. This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
This is nice. So yeah, I took the pretty intense semester, the lab intense semester, last semester. And so I had like four labs or something like that.
So you're just like living out there.
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Basically either 4 to 5 days out of the week, I'm out in the woods somewhere.
Man, that's cool.
Which was really nice, very busy, but it was really cool to get to see all those different places, and you're also learning outside, which is great.
Yeah, hands-on learning. I'm much better with that myself.
Me too.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. You know, because sitting in the classroom gets so boring. Like I have a really hard time focusing, and especially those really long lectures with like big classrooms where like the professor may or may not know your name, and you're like, oh gosh, this kind of sucks. But out in the woods, like, the professors know your name usually,
and they're approachable,
and they're just out there with you hanging out in the woods, so it's a lot more fun for me.
Yeah, I learned much better that way too, because like at these bigger universities, not that U of M's that huge, but for us you know, Montana, this is huge.
Yeah,
and I took a lot of my freshman classes in Bozeman, and like I said, those big auditoriums, and I don't know if there's any way to like really make it that entertaining. And I'd be drifting off and first thing in the morning, like trying to wake up. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't even know.
What am I doing?
It's usually something I don't really care about. It's a gen ed that I have to take. But like you said, versus these smaller classrooms, I finished my degree in Dillon, and it was much better because it's a smaller classroom. And some of the subjects like physics, like I'm not a math guy, but there's like, you know, 10 of us in a classroom. Yeah. So it's like,
you kind of have to.
Yeah. But I'm locking eyes with the professor the whole time. Like, I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
But very approachable because he had office hours, and, you know, you knew him, and he knew your name. And it was a great experience. I just worked. But I think it's also like, because they know who you are, like, I feel like I got to like, you know, have a little bit more of a standard. Yeah. I'm not just like some random student. I'm like, know if I'm starting to slip a little bit, and I start feeling guilty, and I'm like, I gotta put a little more effort in.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I also think that being a part of like clubs also gets you kind of in with some of the professors.
Yeah,
we have a lot of admin that are, what are they? They're like mentors or whatever. They're
advisors.
Advisors, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are advisors for a lot of our clubs, and so I think that helped me get to know my professors a little bit better, especially with being a part of SAF, which quite a few of our professors are either members or like go to the events. And so it was really cool to see them outside of school and also get to know them.
It like humanizes them. You're like, oh, you're not as intimidating. Like,
yeah,
you're
just,
we both love the outdoors. My actual physics professor was actually like that too. And he was this like avid backcountry skier, and so like it kind of helped me learn a little bit too, because we'd talk about like whatever problem I was having an issue with, and then I'd be like, you know, did you go skiing this weekend? And then, you know, we talk a little bit about that, and then back to like the project, because it's lab art, and it's usually just me.
So
go check it out.
But they're, I don't know, getting close with your professors, benefits you educationally, but just the connections and the networking, and I don't know, being in my position, I feel like I have pretty easy access, and they work with us a lot. And it's just been incredible. I go home and I'm telling people like, I got my professor's phone numbers. If you need anything, holler. Yeah. And they're like,
how do you?
I hardly know my professor's names, let alone they don't even know who I am, or I'm just a number to them. So, yeah, it really says a lot that they're super personable and approachable and awesome.
Yeah, people. I've had multiple professors, quite often will reach out to most of their students about jobs. Like,
that's cool.
Like they try to hook you up the best they can. Like, we have a whole page on Canvas, is that what it's called?
Whatever we use.
We've got a whole page for forestry students that is just job listings.
Oh, very cool.
And so like we've got a lot of opportunities from just our professors, and like I said earlier, being a part of clubs has probably made my experience at the university like 10 times better as well.
Oh, I bet. Well, you probably talk to folks in the clubs that maybe are going in a little different route, and you're like, hey, what's that about? And you get to hear about what they're interested in, because, you know, that, coming from all these backgrounds, that's a great thing about university is people coming from all over the country, you know, and coming here, and whatever reason got them here, or they might have just stumbled on something that, like, we didn't, you know, if we were all in the class together, and be like, oh, what is that? You know, that sounds like something I'd be interested in. And then back to, like, you were saying about the professors, well, both of you guys, it's, you know, it's that probably lifelong connection, too. It's like you have this resource that is always there. So if, like, you're like, yeah, just, I got this thing that I'm working on. Like, what do you think about it? You know, and you have someone who's, you know, a professional educator who can give you their two cents. And even if you're just, like, writing something up, like, I don't like the way this is kind of sounding. Yeah. Like, you know, you got a soundboard that's, like, a super educated soundboard that also has your back because they know you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of, like, an example is our former professor Ed Burke, who was at the university for, I think, 45 years or so.
Yeah, long time.
And retired 2 years ago now?
Yeah,
2023, I believe.
Yeah,
so a while ago, and he still hangs around and is just an awesome person, and we contact him often. He actually did a demo up in the up at Lubrecht, a sawmill demo for one of our events in the fall, and just loves getting out, loves helping out, and that's just an example of, like, someone who's retired. He has no obligation to do anything. We only had him for 2 years, and then he retired, and it's just,
is he, it's the, worked is out he really doing well. The class that like Friday or the Saturday class?
Yeah, I think he's actually coming back and, like, teaching another class. Yeah, it's like a Saturday class. So
it's a very small,
it's actually
class
at Lubrecht.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
basically, like, how, I'm not exactly,
I don't know what the description of the class is, but it's basically you just get to go hang out with Ed and Lubrecht.
And mill and harvest timber and move it to the mill and then mill it and then use it in, like, forest products.
That's cool.
It's the entire,
like, process.
I actually meant to ask you guys about that last year, so I'm glad that came up, because I worked with somebody who was on the fire crew, and I'm blanking on who it was, but they're also a forestry major. Mm. And it might have been Ed, had him come up and cut some bigger trees because they were either a B or a C faller. And he's like, yeah, I'll teach you how to run the mill, and, you know, you can keep, you know, some slabs if you want. And so he went up there, and he had made, like, a couple of cool, like, tables and, like, a bar top out of these slabs that he gotten. And I was like, wow, that's, like, really cool. I think someone was, like, some of that blued pine because, you know, like, the
insects and stuff.
Yeah, the beetles and stuff. It was, like, very cool. And then, that was the last time I heard about the mill, so I was like, I remember asking somebody else about it, and they're like, I don't know about that. And it was someone who graduated, like, a little while ago, and I was like, oh, well, hopefully that's still there and going.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's, like, people that know about the forestry program don't always necessarily know about Lubrecht or the fire lab, which I think is crazy that people don't know about it. But, like, that's, Lubrecht has, like, its own mill. Like,
so cool.
Like, that's so cool to go see.
With multiple different sides to it, too.
Yeah, it's not even,
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's all, Ed is the expert, but there are, I mean, you could go to him, hey, we have this project. Yeah. Like, 2 years ago, we were building the float for the homecoming parade in September.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, okay, we'll go cut the trees. Will you mill them? Yeah, just drop them off at the mill. I'll get to them. Come back. Yeah. I mean, I think we dropped them off, and 2 days later, he's like, yeah, they're all ready. And they were, like, 6x6, perfectly milled.
Oh,
like,
man.
Obviously unfinished, but just,
yeah, we still, like, have those. Yeah,
super awesome.
That's cool.
Easy.
You still see, like, the
really
saw,
well,
like, the saw cuts on, like, the rough saw. And
yeah,
stuff,
rough
right?
saw, and yeah. Oh, it was gorgeous.
That's gorgeous. Yeah, yeah. just
and they held up. They're like she said, they're still gonna use them this week. Actually,
really?
So
man, dreamy. I love that look.
Yeah,
And that's another thing cool, because that was it for the forestry club or forestry ball float? Talk to me about the float.
Both
kind of everyone.
Yeah.
We threw the fire club, SAF, student chapter, ball, and then club. And we all meet at the same time, so we're a pretty close, tight-knit group.
Yeah.
That's something that, you know, one freshman come and asked me, like, okay, so what's the difference between all the clubs? And I'm like, well, really, just the names, kind
of.
I mean, yes, the
some
fire
events.
Club. Yeah, the fire club does more prescribed fire, so if you're interested in that, you know, go to their things. But we have meetings all at the same time. We
That's
just,
cool.
you know, are like, okay, we're going to talk about this for a little bit. We're talking about the next club in a little bit.
Yeah.
And so they're all pretty much at the same time, aside from SAF.
Yeah.
SAF is, I guess, more like...
What's the SAF stand for?
Society of American Foresters.
Society of American Foresters?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Right, the national...
Yeah, it's like
nationwide
a...
Nationwide organization.
It was more popular about 25-ish years ago, because you can, like, join as a member, and then you get, like...
I feel like I should know about this since I'm older, but it's all news to me.
It's like you can you get access to, like, more... I don't know what they... I want to say, like, studies and stuff like that, like, databases and stuff you can go use. But it's also just kind of a, like, a... Like, you get to go hang out with people that also like forestry stuff.
Yeah.
And it's also really good networking. That's kind of what I tell freshmen when they're like, okay, what's the difference between SAF and the and forestry club? It's, like, SAF is a little bit more professional oriented. Like, it's trying to get you a job. And forestry club is also trying to get you a job. But it's a little bit more fun, just, like, school club kind of stuff. Yeah, SAF is, like, an actual...
Like, career-based.
Like, it's nationally known, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
But they're basically the same thing, just in a different scope. So all the clubs, I think, go hand in hand, and to do something without one of the clubs is kind of weird. Like, everybody's invited to do everything, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it makes people, like what we talked about earlier, like, figuring out what you want to do, it makes that really easy, because you just show up to the meeting, and you get, okay, this is what Forestry Club has going on Saturday, we're going to go up to Lubrecht and do a thinning. And Fire Club, okay, they actually... If you want to burn, we got some midweek burns with the TNC, the Blackfoot Challenge, or the Fire Center, or whoever. Like, this is that information. So,
we've got a lot.
We designed it to be, like, a really streamlined, easy to disseminate information way to set up clubs.
And Ball is technically a forestry club event, but it's kind of become its own
club.
I wouldn't call it a club, but it's its own event. Because everybody, all the clubs, and you don't even have to be a forestry major to also participate in helping.
That's cool.
So yeah, the whole campus is welcome to come help. I know, like I said earlier, we have clubs, like, we have some of the sororities come and help us build the chapel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's and we cool. have clubs like Wildlife that come and help us build. So it's a whole campus wide activity, really.
And then, are you familiar with the rivalry between the foresters and the lawyers?
Yeah.
A little bit, but if you'd like to go into that, I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, so unfortunately, our beloved mascot, Bertha, is not overlooking the forestry building right now. She has been kidnapped and is in the gross law building right now. Yeah. So
on display?
Unfortunately,
on display.
Oh, man.
They claimed her as theirs. Yeah. So they used some legal
mumbo jumbo
against us. So we're going to go in and...
To seize Bertha.
We got some stuff planned for the next week, so.
Yeah.
Gotta get her back.
There are some wanted posters out for the president and his cronies. Yeah. So if you ever see Noah Pierre, let us know and
report him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then the goal is to get Bertha back before the ball starts. Is that the goal?
Yes.
That's the goal. Hopefully they return her.
Yeah, usually we get her around Boondockers Day, which is an event we have next week, the 22nd, which is a Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just held on the oval. It's like 12 to 1 ish.
Yep.
We have an event that we have a few events planned with the lawyers. And we also have a few things that are, well, they're all plans with the lawyers, but we would like to have a few people come out and, like, you know, from the student body and just kind of hang out and do some events with us. It'll be a great fun. It's just going to be a fun little, we were originally going with, like, a relay race, but it's more like a few different competitions lined up to see who...
In order to win Bertha back.
That's how it goes. Yeah. Oh, all right.
Hopefully the foresters pull through and claim what's rightfully ours after she was illegally stolen from us in December.
In December. Jeez.
I know, it's the holiday season.
It's been a while.
Come on. Come on, you guys. It's not cool.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's the season of giving and they're taking.
Yeah, I know.
Classic lawyers.
Yeah, lawyers. Yeah,
classic lawyers.
That's what they do.
Yeah, normal. Shouldn't expect anything else. And do you guys do, like, a week, like, before the ball, like, a thing every day on campus to kind of promote, or?
Kind of. I mean, we're so focused on building the ball that it's kind of tough to do anything. It's pretty much all hands on deck when we're building.
Oh,
But we have a ton of great support from the university and from mm-hmm. marketing especially. And they actually, I just saw an email that came through today, and they decided to name a drink that they're going to have, like a special drink after Bertha.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's like a chai, I believe.
Oh.
Like Big Bertha Chai or something like that. So
I haven't looked at the email.
Yeah, so. It just came through the email today. So, we get a ton of great support. And
yeah, we do.
Like she said, all the clubs, and we get a lot of departments around the university that love to help us out and spread the good word. So
yeah
it's such a great event. I mean, like 106 of them.
You guys said it's the amazing. Only things that have stopped Forrester's Ball was World War II mm-hmm. and then COVID. Wow. So it's
2 years each. So
that's it. Yeah, two years out of the 106. So if that didn't happen, it gets to be 108. But that's a heck of a run.
No,
yeah.
It's crazy. And I think events wise we have a lot of like events that kind of are sprinkled through both semesters. This semester, obviously, it happens really fast because it's only, we're only in school for
a week and a half
before we have ball.
Yeah.
So it kind of happens pretty quickly, but trying to think of other events.
That kind of sounds kind of nice, especially if if you're out, from out of state or whatever, and you're out visiting family, you get to get like right back in the swing of things and working with all your friends and getting the ball together.
It is an interesting time of year to do it. I noticed that last year when we like had this whole semester of like, okay, people are talking about this ball and I'm going to help out and like, it'll be really fun. And then like ball happened and I was like, holy cow. Like
a whirlwind.
I just met all these people. I did all this really hard work and we got it all done. And I have these really great connections with these people. And now I have the rest of the semester to even get to know them more. Like it's kind of
the ultimate icebreaker.
Yeah. Like it really is. Yeah. It's an ideal time to do it. Cause it is right at the beginning of the semester. So even if there are students that are just joining at that time, like this big event happens and then you have the rest, it's not at the end of the year. So you have all this time to like enjoy these people that you just met. That was my favorite part last year, was getting that kind of like after ball, after everybody slept for 24 hours.
I bet.
Getting to like go and hang out with these people that I just made these great connections with.
Yeah, and little stress bonding, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we have a ton of great alumni that come in and help us build and support the ball, and we owe a lot to them. They've continued it on, and
That shows you
they've just been incredible. So
yeah, and sorry to cut you off, Costa.
No worries.
That's definitely when you know you have something special is when you have all these alumni that are coming back that are interested.
And they put hours and hours and hours into it. So it's pretty incredible.
Like take off work to come in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like months in advance.
Yeah.
They know the date and they're like, okay, we'll not be at work this week and I'll be busy.
Yeah.
That'll probably be me. They'll be like, we can't get this stupid Airstream out of here. This old guy keeps rumbling around talking about a podcast.
We have, speaking of alumni, we have I think historically it was just for alum, but we've now transitioned it into an alum and friends dinner auction.
Any supporter of the ball.
Yeah, anybody can come. Students, alum, people that are just Missoula residents.
Yeah, probably
doesn't matter.
Family of students.
Yeah,
probably.
Families would be great.
Yeah, my parents go. They went last year. They'll go this year. So.
Yeah. Your
family's awesome, by the way. Met them last year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Great people. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's on the Saturday, right after Community Foresters Day.
Oh.
We just have it. Is it right after?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
it leads up to the Saturday night at the ball, and we do a dinner, and tickets are available online. If you go to our Instagram, it's in the link and stuff.
Yeah.
But we have thousands upon thousands of dollars of donations.
It's
pretty incredible. We got stuff from Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Montana Knife Company, Darn Tough, Onyx, Kingfisher.
We've got ski passes for
Lookout.
Whoa.
There's, I think, Alden.
Countless Missoula businesses, free food,
Alden just
ice cream,
picked
dinners.
Up, like, a fishing rod reel combo that's worth, like, $1,000 or something like that.
Pretty incredible.
Like, crazy stuff that we've been getting this year.
That is so cool.
It's really exciting. I really want, like...
Nick's Boots.
Boots? We have Nick's Boots. I really want to get,
so shout out to them.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. I want the student population to know that it's not just for, like, alum, because, like people are gonna go nuts for those socks. You just know it. Like I love those socks. You know?
Fire and socks.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's, you don't. I want like I don't think that people get this. You don't have to buy dinner to go to the auction.
Yep.
Like, you can just go to the auction. You don't even have to have dinner. You can just come and bet on things.
Yep.
Where's the auction at? Is it here in Triber?
Yeah, in Triber. Oh,
cool. So that's it's another, like, into the ball access.
Yeah.
Without it being super busy. And
we'll
have some speeches. We'll talk to our, have a little meet and greet with our guest of honor, and a couple deans will be there, and some very higher university representatives. Mm-hmm. So it'll be really good. And like Katie said, you don't have to, buy a ticket just to go. The ticket's only for if you want dinner, and we get a full catered meal. So it's a pretty nice dinner, but there's a limited amount of that. But if you just want to come and bid on some incredible, incredible items that have been donated by some pretty amazing companies and people around the city and the state.
Yeah.
I'd highly recommend coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got like great businesses, like you guys were saying, like Montana Knife Company. And
just right in Frenchtown.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah, right in Frenchtown. Yeah, and they're expanding a little bit. And
coming to the Y.
Yeah, and I think it's Josh Smith, right, the owner there. He's,
I think so.
Involved in a lot of Montana things and outdoors stuff. And then, you know, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, of course. Mm-hmm. Like we work a lot in the Forest Service. And Onyx. Onyx is great.
Crazy.
Right
down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right here. So many cool spots. Like, as you're going off the list, there's just, like, things that would make just, like, your outdoors experience so much better.
Yep.
You know? Like, a good knife from the Montana Knife Company.
Yeah. Keep your feet warm.
Keep your feet warm.
Get around.
Yeah. The boots of Nick's.
The knife, we had connections from one of our community members, Max McComsey. He actually designed the ball logo this year.
It's great. We were just talking about it too. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Great logo.
He did so good with that. And he had, it was like a friend of a friend worked or something like that for them. And,
for Montana Knife Company?
Yeah, and so he kind of reached out to them and was like, hey, would you guys, and it was all within like a committee meeting too. Like he had texted this person, and then like at the end of the meeting he was like, yeah, we could get a knife.
That's so
it was
cool.
Awesome. They took care of us. Everyone who's donated has just been
so great.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So.
So awesome. It's such a great event, and it's so cool to see people like even just like me, like I don't really have anything to give, but like I love help spreading the word because it's so cool.
Right.
Well, that does more than you know. So we really appreciate it. It's amazing just to be able to come on and talk to you. And
I think it helps. Paul, I appreciate you guys, but I think it helps like just having you guys talk who are like the main, you know, some of the main pillars of it and been involved in it for a while and generationally. And then also to the ins and outs. So like people who may not know what it is, they're like, wow, this, you know, and to me at least, like as you guys are talking, it just seems like it gets better and better and better. And you're like, wow, what a crazy, awesome event.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the dinner, is the dinner in Triber too?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So pretty much every event that we hold will, except for Boondockers Day, which happens the week before. And, everything, once the ball is built, that's where we hold our events.
Oh, mm-hmm. Awesome.
And sometimes in the years past, that hasn't been the case just because it's a lot to hold in there. And I mean, there's a ton of moving parts, moving tables around and making sure, doing repairs.
Yeah, that's,
like people punch holes in the floor. Like, I mean, it's a dance.
Yeah, totally.
So it's kind of expected,
you
got to make sure stuff's patched before you start another night.
Holes in the floor.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, last year I did. I was part of the can-can dancing.
Yeah.
And I remember for me, it was my first year seeing the floor. And I remember going in and going, we're dancing on this? Are you sure? Like, this is crazy. And all the people that have done it before, they're like, yeah, it's fine. Like, just make sure you wear cowboy boots and like, so they don't like, you know, push through like any heels or anything like that. Like, just don't wear heels.
They will You'll punch through.
Yeah, they will.
Oh, I bet.
And just be careful. It'll be fine. Like,
And everything was fine?
Crazy. Yeah, everything worked out. Can-Can went really well last year. We sold out both nights last year.
Oh, really?
So during our Can-Can performance, it was packed.
That's awesome.
So, hollering.
Yeah, like having to push back the crowd was great. Like we had like a portion of our dance space that we had practiced with was like gone. Because we couldn't push back any further.
Yeah.
So it was we had to on the fly dance smaller.
take smaller tighten it up a little bit. I think Coast, I think you posted a video of it. And,
yeah, probably.
And
yeah.
I hadn't seen it since Adam Center, which, you know, a little bigger area, and they, you know, Can-Can had enough room, it seemed like. But it did seem tight. I was like,
it's tiny.
Yeah.
And what's even worse, I don't know if it's a bad thing or a good thing, but we have a ton more people doing CanCan this year. So, yeah, that's so we cool. have
a lot of involvement.
A lot more. Yeah, it's great. We have a lot more people dancing, which is good because more people looks great, but we're going to need a lot more space.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And Kate, what's like the origin and like the story behind CanCan, I guess?
Oh, I don't even know. I think... Is just it kinda, a sorority thing that started?
Yeah, I've heard from one of our alumni that I believe it was Delta Gamma
that started doing
or
it?
One of the older
ones. Maybe they might not be on campus anymore. Yeah,
really?
But it was a sorority that did it.
Yeah,
and yeah, just come and
and now it's
practice
this
dance
of,
for a while and then perform it.
So see, that's kind of what I'm talking about too. Like what you guys have been saying, like the layers to the Foresters Ball is so
it's
awesome.
Crazy. I think for a while it was. Like more popular with the sororities, and then it kind of fell off for a little bit. And then as more women started joining, you know, forestry, and it's still a pretty male dominated field, but like as more women were getting involved in the program here, at least CanCan started getting a little bit more popular because they could like join and do that.
Yeah. That makes sense. Cause I bet that's like at the Adams Center, but there wasn't as many, you know, like said, as many women at the ball or wanting to get involved.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's probably plenty of women at the ball, but maybe not wanting to get involved with CanCan. And that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But, so like the attire of the CanCan, has that been around for a while, or is that more of a new thing?
Oh gosh. I mean, looking at all the photos, it's been around forever.
That's what I was thinking.
Variations.
Yeah. Every year they put like a different twist on it.
It's a little bit different every year, but, pretty generic, like CanCan outfit is a terribly tight corset that you have to dance in, and usually like a dark, it's terrible. And then this like just massive, ugly green tutu.
That's what I was picturing, the big old tutu.
It's so gross. And that's just a personal thing. Like most people really like the tutus and like love them, but they're just so big. And usually, you know, fishnets, cowboy boots, and then, you know, I'm trying to think of.
I think it's awesome because it just kind of like adds another layer to it, you know.
And it's just such a weird outfit. Like
it is.
It makes sense, but like only because we've been doing it for however many years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you know, you know. If you don't, it's like.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Totally. Kind of yeah, and for me, like I forgot about it because like there's so much going on, and then when you guys were talking about last year, and I was like, oh yeah, the CanCan. Like, that was like super cool part of it, and then you know if you don't remember, and you go to the ball and you see someone dressed up in the CanCan, you're like. Oh, I know what that is.
That's
you know, and you're kind of waiting for the dance. You're like,
yeah.
When do you, I don't, maybe I'm spoiling it. Maybe I don't want to talk about it. Cause I was going to say, when does it usually go, the CanCan dance?
Is
it
8-ish is what we did last year?
Is that when we did last year? Yeah. Like halfway through. Like
no, it might have been 9.
Yeah, it tried to be like halfway through. Cause we give the band, which we haven't mentioned yet, Blue Collar Band is playing. So another local band.
Yeah.
Cool. They'll be super fun. And we actually did a fun little thing where we went out to like, the committee went to different bars and stuff and listened to music and
picked
Blue Collar Band. It was a lot of fun, so we're excited to bring them into the ball this year. They said they've been to the ball as patrons but never as the band.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be pretty fun.
I'm excited to hear
it.
Yeah, that's cool.
We usually give them a little bit of time to do their music and their set, and then we do our, because we have music that we dance to.
Oh, gotcha.
That we play to.
Is it like on a speaker? Is it like the band plays it? Or
no, we have it on a speaker. Oh gosh, wouldn't it be cool if we could have the band?
It would be cool.
That would be really logistically
quite
hard
the request.
To figure out. Yeah, that's true. Very hard because our dances are. Oh gosh, I have to think of how many we do. The girls have a dance. The guys
it's
have
like
a dance.
It's like a 9-minute.
Yeah, it's long. We have
listening to it
two CanCans. Well, we have one that's just girl CanCan, and then the CanCan at the end, and then the couples. So there's 5 dances.
Oh wow.
And so they're all like bits and pieces of songs that have to get edited together.
It's all pre-coordinated.
Yep.
Choreographed, I guess.
Yeah, it's
like constantly moving people too. It's awesome.
Last year the way that we had it organized was the guys did their song first while the girls pushed the crowd back, and then we swapped basically. So the guys started pushing the crowd back and the girls danced, and then the girls had to dance for the rest of the set. I was tired at the end of it. And then the second night when, you know, decon starts, I did the midnight to 8 a.m. shift. And so I was like still all dolled up in like my makeup and everything like that. And I obviously had changed into some overalls or something to work.
Yeah, something more comfortable.
But yeah, I remember I was maybe one of the dump truck drivers or something was just like, What do you have on your face? I was like, don't worry about it. And then, like...
It's a heck of a night.
Yeah, I was like, an hour or two later, I just, like, like tore off all these like gems that I had on my eyes and like just washed my face off really quickly because I was like, this is stupid. I shouldn't be looking like this trying to do decon.
Ball things.
Yeah.
Yeah, ball things. Yeah, ball things. Yeah, I think that's cool. But I think it adds to it because I think everyone's kind of like in that same like, you're still kind of riding a high from the cool weekend, you know, and not really caring maybe what you got on. And
Yeah,
so cool. Decon, I mean, you guys are like working your butts off on that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oof. I remember the assistant decon officer this year, Davis, and I were in the bed of the dump truck. So we had like three dump trucks rotating and bringing the stuff to Missoula Compost. And when we get there, we'd throw stuff in and then we'd jump in to like organize it to get the most out of the loads.
Yeah, yeah.
And these things, they're running like 6 hours straight. Jeez. It's quite the haul.
Yeah.
So we were in there, and last year it was like half raining, half snowing the entire night.
Cold.
Just so it was miserable.
Yeah.
And I got home, and I remember I was like, I'm just going straight to bed. So I took off my pants, and I stood them up, and they stayed. And then I went to bed, and then 6 hours later I got up, and my pants were still standing.
Still standing.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is awful.
That is awful. Yeah. And awesome at the same point, though.
Yes,
at the same time, though, you know?
And it was like, okay. All right, let's go back and finish it off.
Yeah, see, those pants are ready to go still. They're just waiting for you.
I just jumped in and left.
I'm pretty sure we set a record last year for like how fast we got.
I think we were out of the gym by 7 p.m.
So in less than
19 hours, we were done.
That was crazy.
That is amazing.
Because you gotta,
it was 19 hours straight. So
I think it was all the chainsaw smoke feeding into our brains, all the chemicals or something.
Just kept you rolling.
Yeah. I mean, because we got to take down all of everything that we put up. So all of like the slabs.
Everything that takes 5 days to put up
poles,
has to leave in a day.
We have to cut it all out, throw that all out, of course, into the dump trucks and everything like that. And then we have to take all the false fronts out and the floors that usually take a whole day.
With a little bit, probably a little more tender care because
you
don't want to break anything right.
Yeah, and not everything can just be thrown in the dump truck.
No.
There's a lot of things that we need to save. So the first 2 hours is like, okay, pull lights.
Yeah.
Pull anything that we're gonna keep.
Signs.
Make sure we put it away correctly because we're only doing this once.
Yeah.
We'll see it next year.
Right.
Yeah. And so anyway, set yourself up for success next year.
Exactly.
Like you said.
Yeah. So it's an art. It really is. And
yes.
I mean, it takes months to plan and it's just one night to execute it, and hopefully it goes well. And if not, we'll adapt and make it go well. So
that's the thing too. Like the thing on your feet, and the stuff you guys got to do, and especially in your guys' positions, you know, like where you got to like, all right, we're gonna pivot here. You know, all right, this isn't working. Let's try this instead.
Yeah.
And which probably helps with you guys being, you know, a few years into it, especially UCOS. And you, how many years you have
this
with ball now?
Third.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Got more time than I do.
So that really helps. But then Katie, you can like, you're kind of that middle ground where like you've seen it before, but then you can kind of glean a little bit from COSIN and then. Start kind of figuring out, like, you need no dead ends, right? You just pivot. You just keep pivoting, and it all seems to work out.
Yeah, it's something that I find fascinating. Speaking of, like, having to pivot, so our false fronts that we have to put in, they don't, they fit in the door to Schreiber, but not really great. So we have to make, like a ramp for them to, like, slide onto and slide out of.
Oh, yeah.
And do we have like a designated ramp or do we just take a slab every year?
We just make we make it out of two slabs.
Yeah. Every year.
We just
every
screw year. It together and it sits in the corner of the doorway and we put one corner of the false front in it and just push it through. And it's like, well, we're going to keep our momentum going. So.
Yeah.
Well, even like that little trick is probably like a lifesaver because otherwise you wrestle with that huge. Because I didn't even think about those fronts because they're huge.
They're huge.
It's
like
little
8x8.
Things.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why we have those thick ass binder. Can I guess on?
No, absolutely.
Okay,
I
couldn't.
Let
we've
it
got
out.
Those like thick ass binders that you know all the committee members have. I don't have mine, but.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
But like there's a reason that we have those huge binders that have all of this information just
it's 106 years of ideas and things
just
passed down
stuff.
So
that's cool.
I think I got to kind of check out the construction binder last year because my boyfriend had it. He was construction officer last year. And I just looking through all that stuff, I was like, oh my gosh.
There's a lot more
that's
than...
That's so much.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got plans for buildings that...
That never were and they haven't been
like,
around.
Yeah, they were, like, super old and, like, they probably wouldn't work. Like,
yeah.
Just crazy building plans that people jotted on a napkin or, like, really? Just crazy things. Yeah.
That is so cool. That would make, like, an awesome coffee table book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, inlaid and, like, resin poured over.
Yeah. Oh, that too. I didn't think just, like, a big old binder on your coffee table.
Yeah. Read all of our plans.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like you said, 106 years of it. Like, holy cow. Like,
yeah.
And we've just only recently started putting all of our, like, write-ups and stuff online. We have, like, a drive and everything like that, which we don't have storage, apparently. We're running out of storage on that drive, surprisingly.
Always happens, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, one of those issues too. Gigabytes on gigabytes of stuff in that. So there's a lot
photos
of
photos and documents.
A lot of stuff, so.
Yeah, and I have to credit most of that organization and getting all that stuff onto our drive to Alden, our logistics officer. He's great at what he does.
Oh, that's good. Everyone needs an Alden.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, he does the heavy lifting. He and Elle, his assistant, have gotten most of the, not most, they've gotten all of the donations.
Yeah, they've been awesome.
They've been so good.
That's huge. And having someone who can catalog it and digitize all that stuff is huge, because especially in the generation we're in now, like, if it's not digital, everything fades and can get destroyed, but you can lose a drive too, I guess. But, like, if you have some backups for the backups and everything, it'll last a little longer and you know, be preserved instead of, like, a binder that might get damaged at some point.
As long as that password gets handed down.
That's true. I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's super helpful, and the email is just crazy. I mean, we're sending probably 20 to 30 emails a day as a committee, and it's just going to ramp up.
Everybody that needs to get stuff done, it's
hectic.
It is hectic. It is. Yeah, and I think that's what's great about this podcast too, is that it shows, like, all the behind the scenes stuff, the behind the curtain, because, like, even like me, I had no idea until I sat down with you guys last year, and then this is even built on that quite a bit. Yeah. You know, we kind of more brushed the surface because you guys were in construction phase. I didn't want to keep you guys here. And then, and also, like, I wasn't as familiar with the ball because it had been a long time.
Yeah.
So now, like, I have all these other, like, things I'm like, whoa, that's cool that I can talk about, because, you know, it's just last year that I got to, you know, hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
So this is super cool. And then last thing I want to talk about before I let you guys go, because how long do you think we've been here? Wait, you can't look at your wife's question.
Guess.
Yeah, I already looked at my phone. Oh, I know what time it is. Yeah.
How long have we been here, though? Because I got out on the recording.
Like an hour and 20. No.
I'd say an hour 45 on the recording.
No way. Hour. No, I'm going hour 20.
Not quite that.
Yeah, but you're really close. So hour and 16 right now.
Hour recording, 16, so, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to keep you guys all night. And I was actually meant to try to let you guys out here in 40 minutes, but man, we covered a lot.
Yeah,
we talked a lot last year too. I remember sitting down and it was like, same as last year, this, it just comes so naturally. It's so easy to talk, so
I think it's
thank you.
I think it was easy to, like, because we have so much fun with it, and because we, like, are, like, doing it currently, like, it's just really easy to talk about. Like, we just, like, we want to talk about it. Like, it's fun to talk about.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's so amazing. And, yeah, and that's a good point, because, like, in my head, I'm thinking, like, all right, I'll try to, you know, get you guys in an hour in, like, 30 minutes so you guys aren't, like, you know, here all night. And you know, because it's more, like, in my head, it's, like, kind of more meat potatoes, like, like, the date, what goes into it, you know, the theme, and then, you know, what you guys have been doing, and then, you know, we'll, you know, call it good and then do another follow-up. But then all these other side stories and these cool little things that you guys are up to that, you know, I don't know about, and I think a lot of people listening to this podcast probably don't really know that much about forestry unless you were here as a student. Because even if you're at a different university, you might not have a Lubrecht, or I guarantee you don't have a forestry ball.
Yeah.
And that, the thing is, like relatives and friends in the Midwest and stuff that, like, don't, like, when I was putting pictures up, like, what is that? You gotta come out, because, like, I can't even, like, the words don't do it justice. Yeah. You have to see it. And like you guys were talking about, like, how many days you say to put it together?
Seven. Well, yeah.
We're doing six this year.
Yeah.
So, rushing a little bit here.
Yeah.
But 6 days to take it up, like, 12 hours to take it down, is that what it is?
We have the entire day, so it's, we'll start this year putting it up on Saturday, and that day we'll pretty much just put the floor in. That's how long that takes. We have to tarp it, and then we put the floor on top.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day we'll start building vertically, and that's where, like, the real, like, okay, now we have direction. You just kind of show up at the building that you're building and just,
because we have build leads that, like, will be in charge of each building, and then just, like, a group of people that go with them with everything.
And then the decoration comes a couple days after that. So we will be working until doors open on Friday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Broom, sweeping, making sure everything looks good. Alumni will go through and stress test it.
Oh, cool.
Just because we don't want anything coming loose middle of the night or anything like that. So,
especially when you got a bunch of rowdy people at the ball bouncing up and down, too.
Yeah, it gets pretty crazy.
Yeah. In a good way.
It does. Yeah, it's a blast. And then midnight on Saturday, going into Sunday, everyone leaves, the light goes on, and we start taking it down, and we take it down until the last speck of dirt is out of the gym. Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a weird feeling to have it happen that fast.
Crazy.
It's a weird turnaround, that's for sure. Because you have a whole week to put it up and to like kind of get used to it every day, you know. And even that transition is pretty stunning, going from just a gym to a whole town, if you will, in a few days. But then taking it all down. I mean, I was so tired last year by the end of my shift. I wasn't really processing anything. Yeah. But I'm sure, like, in pictures, it's pretty drastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can kind of picture it because I've seen, you know, before and after. But not, like, in that kind of switch like you guys have seen. Because when we did the podcast last year, you were still kind of gathering things together. And maybe the floor had gone. I don't think you guys were very far along when we did.
Yeah, we were pretty early in the week, wasn't it? I think we had done the corrals in the back to like keep the porta potties all up and stuff. I think that
so
had been done.
So people don't come in from the outside. Yeah.
And then I think that's where we were.
Yeah.
And then Jin and I snuck out to do this. Mm-hmm. And then, from then on, it was like, all right, let's get to work.
Yeah. And then I came, I think Thursday evening. And it was Thursday evening just to do the walkthrough with you guys and take some photos and try to help get the word out a little more. And almost together. It was like, holy cow, I was just here a couple days ago and it's almost there right now. Really impressive.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then, our goal pretty much for decon is like that first shift from midnight to 8 a.m. is to have the ball look like it does on the first day of construction.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much we only want the floor and the faults fronts that have all been taken apart and are just leaning on the wall.
Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive what happens in a short amount of time.
I can't remember how many exactly, but there wasn't...
It's a big diesel out there. At first I was like, a snowplow. I was like,
that's
snowing?
What I thought too. I was like, what the heck? No, last year we had less than 10 people on that shift because you don't really want a ton of people because it can kind of get...
More cooks in the kitchen gets
a little crazy. So by the time we got all like the decorations and like those kinds of things out... Like, our decon officer, Jordan, he just started sending people home and was like, come back at 7, come back at 8, you know?
Yeah,
and
smart.
So there was only, like, 7 or 8 of us that stayed the whole night. And I loved it. It was awful, but I loved it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like firework. It's grunt work. It's like, this is, you're in it right now.
Yeah.
But then when it's over, it's like, we did that.
Yeah.
And you can see what you did. Yeah. It's like putting in a line.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did that work. Maybe I don't remember some of it, but then I turn around and there's a line and I turn around and there's a gym again.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's an excellent comparison because that's kind of where my brain was going with it too.
Yeah.
It's like, you just kind of get in that mode and just, you know, keep working until it's done and digging the line or what, you know, decon. And And then last thing before I let you guys go, one of the last things, Boondocker Days, is that like a different event or is it kind of connected to the Forestry's Ball?
It's a Forestry Ball event that we do. This is when we're supposed to get Bertha back. So it's when like the lawyers bring her back and we kind of meet in this like middle ground with them.
At the Oval.
A neutral site.
Yeah. Neutral area. And we just have some events that kind of get the news out there that like, hey, next week is when we're doing this. And you know, it's a little odd to walk out of class and see a moose on the middle of the Oval. So it's kind of a good, like,
but
you know, catch for
students. And that's what we do.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And so like it's just like a fun event that we get to do with the lawyers. It's like it's one of the very few official events that we do with the lawyers.
Oh yeah.
Because we have some other, like, you know, when they stole Bertha, they didn't tell us that they were doing it. You know, it wasn't a plan. So so this is one of like the actually planned, like, inviting students out to this kind of event.
Cool.
So I'm excited about it.
Yeah. We go public with our rivalry.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can bring her back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pulling for you guys.
Thank you.
did you guys have an event last year that the president of the university came out and won?
That was Boondockers, right?
The cow pie throwing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real cow pies.
It's,
it is.
I didn't know. That's awesome.
Yes.
Yep. Cosin got to go collect them last year.
Two years in a row.
Oh, boy.
Not doing that this year.
I have to figure it out this year.
Yeah. The torch is passed on to you, Keith.
Yeah, great. You
gotta find good ones.
It's fun. It's a fun Wednesday morning. Make sure they're frozen.
Yeah. So that's going to happen at Boondockers. But we have a few other things also planned. Just the fun competition stuff.
Yeah, it's cool to have like that rivalry that comes together in the Oval, and then like you said, a big attention grab because like a moose right there. And like, what is everyone doing
chainsaws
right here?
Yeah,
chainsaw.
Historically, there's been a helicopter drop for tickets, and unfortunately, last year that didn't work out with some planning, and then the weather.
Yeah.
You know, super overcast and super low fog, so they wouldn't have been able to fly anyway. But
so, what do you mean by helicopter drop for tickets?
Like they would have a cardboard box full of like tickets and then vouchers for free merch and then just dump it out the window.
That's cool.
Of the helicopter above the Oval.
Yeah. Yep. And people run around trying to catch them.
Yeah. Well, and then I think a couple of years the wind would catch it and then blow it all on the dorms. Yeah. The RAs were not stoked about that.
Yeah.
So,
but we've got a few other things that we might have planned for, you know, maybe some tickets.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The helicopter drop's not super conducive to January Missoula weather. So,
we're finding other things to do with it, but we'll have like a swing dancing thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to have like
forestry law,
word searches, trivia, that kind of stuff. So
chainsaw competition.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I've seen that before. That's very cool.
Yeah. It'll be sweet. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that'll be not this coming Wednesday, but next Wednesday on the Oval from 12 to 1.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, for folks around campus, check that out.
Yeah, we'll be loud. It'll be tough to
miss
us. That's
the great part. Yeah, loud and looks cool, you know, like having a chainsaw out there running and then having a moose and everything else going on.
Yeah,
I think that about covers it. If you guys just want to run through the dates one last time, just in times of things real quick.
Yeah, so 106 Forster's Ball, it's going to be on Friday, January 31st, and Saturday, February 1st from 7 to midnight each night. Tickets are available on GrizzTix. You can get them at the UC when we sell them next week as well.
Beautiful. What's the cost for a ticket?
Get your merch too.
Yeah, get the merch at the UC as well. Ticket costs, I'm going to defer to you to this one.
$15 for students on GrizzTix, and then $25 for a couple single. And then I think it's, we cut a deal for if you... Or not a couple single. I said general public single is 25.
Oh, gotcha.
And then general public couple is a deal. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, but
it's 30 or 35.
GrizzTix is there. Probably.
Yeah, GrizzTix.
It'll be on GrizzTix.
Yeah, we got links all over the place. There's QR codes. And then we actually have a ton of signs around town. So a lot of awesome posters
and stuff. Oh, gosh. I really quickly want to go over Ball Queen really quickly.
Yeah, do it.
Just because it hasn't been super popular in the last few years, but I really want to get people into it. I wouldn't call it like a position, but you get to be a ball queen. Like you get to, like, if you fill out this form and you're submitted, like you're the ball queen.
Oh, really?
So
like
there's
anybody, you don't have to be in Forester's Club.
You have to be a UM student, but that's like the only stipulation. Anybody can fill this out. And it's just like a quick little form. And some of the questions on there are more for like our
enjoyment.
Cause some of it's like very heavily forestry, like, questions that you know, like even sometimes forestry students struggle with.
Makes sense. Forestry's so, ball though.
Yeah, and so like historically it was pushed towards the sororities to be ball queen.
Yeah.
But we want to get like the whole campus involved in it. And so like I have a few posts that are going to come out for ball queen. So
is there like a crown that comes with this?
Yeah,
comes
so we've got a few things lined up. We've got a sash, and a crown, and I think flowers this year.
Yeah, we'll do like a bouquet.
Bouquet. Cool. So
it's like a big event for whoever gets crowned.
Yeah, so she'll get crowned, and or they'll get crowned. I don't know. And so I really want to bring it back because it's a really fun thing to do, but it hasn't been very big in the last few years. Probably just because the whole like trend of like queens and prom queen and king hasn't been as popular, but I really want to bring it back. So.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to bring back. Yeah, it's super cool. It's been, it sounds like it's been part of the history of the ball. And
long time.
Yeah,
it's just another layer to it. And I think like you guys are saying, get it without the whole student populace, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Get it so that anyone can be, you know. I think that'll get a little more buy-in and more people like interested in wanting to be here. And what a cool thing to have, you know.
Right.
And it's not... I mean, so, like, from what you guys are saying, it's not really a popularity contest. It's just,
It's just, really, I don't know how you chose last year, but it's just whoever kind of makes me laugh the hardest. I don't know.
I love that idea.
Whoever, I think the way we think of it is like whoever puts in hours,
yeah,
like you have to dedicate some time to ball,
yeah,
and then whoever embodies like the spirit of ball,
yeah,
very cool,
and then whoever has the best answers to the, yeah, to the survey,
because some of them are pretty funny,
yeah,
that is great. I think that's really cool.
We got to get something out of it, so
yeah,
you got to get some laughs.
Yeah, absolutely, bring some personality to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah. And then it's, like I was saying, then it's not like, because I think that's part of the thing with the prom queen, homecoming queen,
yeah,
king stuff. Is it's more of a popularity contest,
yeah,
so like,
yeah,
and that gets old for anybody,
right,
you know,
yeah,
like, so like something with some personality and some fun, mm-hmm, with it, that's a lot better deal, yeah, I think.
And then something to take home as a little memento is pretty cool too, so
yeah, absolutely, fun. Especially like, you know, you get about my age and have some kids and they're like, what's that about? You're like, well, let me tell you a story.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's a little thing called the portrait.
Yeah. Yep.
And then also it's not just like there's actually like some weight to what you're saying, because it's like,
yeah,
I had to be, you know, I had to put some time in, I had, mm-hmm, to be witty, and that's how mommy or whoever got this crown.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah, it's a fun, it's definitely a part that's yeah, kind of been lost, and I think it's a good tradition to bring back, and
yeah,
I think Katie's done a great job.
Yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah. It's yeah, exciting. It's fun.
Oh, it's awesome. Fun. And like, and that, like, just like that, you know, like, you know, you're bringing what you would like to see,
yeah,
to it. And,
yeah,
and then Kosten, you've had your touch, and, you know, I'm sure Jaden had her touch on,
oh,
it too.
Yeah.
And so it's like every time, you know, different folks take the torch, mm-hmm, you know, like, or, you know, follows you guys up, we'll have something they're super interested in, want to,
yeah,
either bring back or like highlight, you know,
yeah,
which is super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, what a great thing you guys are doing. I appreciate you guys coming out.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us again. We really, mm-hmm, appreciate it, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime. We'll hopefully kind of keep this thing going. And hope, you know, as the podcast grows, I think the word will get out a little bit more.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I got a few more followers than last time, so it'll help out a little bit.
I know,
bit
I was looking
later
at that, and I've been following you for a while. And
yeah,
I was actually talking to my girlfriend. I was like, he's actually doing really, really well. Oh. I'm excited.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, highs and lows. But yeah, it's chugging along, that's for sure,
yeah,
you know. And I get like a random person that's like, oh, my friend who lives out wherever, like, heard about that. I was like, I can't believe it's there.
How did they get there?
Yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah, that's similar to ball, actually.
Yeah.
The safety officer, his dad was in Oregon, like a cab, like driving a bus or a cab to the airport. And he was talking to the guy,
yeah,
and he's like, oh, where are you going? Oh, Missoula. And the guy was like, what are you doing in Missoula? Oh, my son's in the forestry program. Oh, I know about the ball. And he's like, what? How did I have to go to Oregon to figure out someone who knew the ball? Like, it's just so random.
So random. Yeah, because, I mean, you go to, like, shoot, probably even Whitehall, my hometown, and folks might not even know about it. Like,
yeah,
what? You know,
yeah,
it's just,
yeah,
just down a couple hours down the road.
Yeah, even right, people in Missoula, it's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that, but I don't really know anything about
yeah,
it. So
yeah,
yeah, I've heard of that a little bit lately because I've been, mm-hmm, you know, talking about it at work and spreading the word around a little bit.
Well, thank you. We appreciate
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys. It's such a cool event, and there's not much going on this time of year. So it's like,
no,
you know, we're social creatures and
need to get out.
Yeah, we need to get
yeah,
out. And I think back when we're more like tribal people, we had these things that we, like, you know, solstice and all these other things, we like
yeah,
had reason to gather, and the foresters ball to me is like a modern version of that.
Yeah,
reason to gather.
Well, thank you, we appreciate that. And
yeah,
yeah, hopefully we can make someone have a fun night. And
yeah,
yeah, it's open
yeah,
to all ages, so we don't
yeah,
you don't need to be 21 to get in or anything like that. And the
yeah,
way we think of it's like if there's a freshman in the dorms that's not having a good time or whatever, and you just need to come out to a Friday night and go dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go
sometimes that's all.
Spend your time
need,
with a great
you know,
group of people and
yeah,
dance.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And that's the vibe I got when I went to my first, is like very accepting. It's like you
oh,
come
yeah,
here and meet some people who are like just out to have a great time and,
mm-hmm,
and socialize and I mean, enjoy the band. Even if you don't want to get involved in dance, you know, you,
yeah,
you hang out.
Go walk to the museum.
Yeah,
yeah,
walk
yeah,
to the museum.
Go grab a free bowl of chili and soda or
yeah,
do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So.
Listen to the band. Or if you're a little bit more into it, you know, you get married, get divorced, end up in jail for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do it all in one night. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the trifecta. Yeah. Because are you guys doing the jail cell this
oh,
year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We
perfect,
actually, in the works, we're going to have the lawyers kind of run the jail.
Oh, awesome.
They're going to hopefully come and help build it, too.
Maybe run around with suits and ties.
Yeah.
And maybe a fake wig or something. Or
yeah,
a wig.
Something,
something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Gosh,
some
yeah,
robes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guilty.
How does one end up in the jail?
I don't know how much we paid for it.
Like a dollar.
It's like a dollar. You can put your friend in jail. And then you can either wait the amount of time that you're in jail for. You can pay like $5 to get out and $2 to get out.
I don't
remember
exactly. We'll figure out prices, but
yeah,
it's not much. Just like
yeah,
pay the jailer, go find this guy. They'll walk up. Yeah, we'll and have. Come we'll on, have... my friend, you're going to jail for a couple minutes. Yeah,
because so. last year we had Posse in charge of it.
Oh.
Which Posse are just freshmen or transfer students that haven't done ball before.
Oh.
And so they have to work
the Posse. Backbone of ball.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. They have to work. It's kind of like security, but like a laid back version of security, because mm-hmm. we actually have like security that will be at ball.
Oh, cool.
But they kind of monitor to make sure everything's going well. So they man the coat rack area, mm-hmm. and then they man the jail and then the front doors. And then, you know, if they see anything, they can go tell somebody. And so we have students doing that all night. And so I think with the lawyers doing the jail, they'll have a little less to do. And so they'll get to maybe enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Focus on
it'll,
other stuff.
It'll be really good to incorporate the lawyers too and continue rivalry. Absolutely. And
yeah.
Yeah. They're really awesome people, and they've been a lot of fun to work with. And
yeah, and it's always good to know.
As much as we hate when they steal our moose, our beloved Bertha.
Silly lawyers.
Yeah.
Darn it. Always good to know a lawyer though. So I mean, yeah. keep that friendship alive.
It's true. It's good retainer, yeah.
Yeah, good retainer, yeah. Hmm. Oh, well, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you. Yeah. And we'll do a follow up like
thank you.
Yeah, the night before. Yeah, probably like Thursday again if you guys are up for it. And
totally.
Yeah, for like a little walkthrough and maybe just like a quick
That'd be
little
awesome.
Yeah, something, because I could talk to you guys all night, so I appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate you, like I said, absolutely. And we'll try and continue this, and hopefully the podcast continues to grow, and
thanks.
Appreciate wish all that. The best to you.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Best of luck for everything.
Oh, same with you guys and your careers, and it's cool, because now that I know you guys and be able to, especially through social media, it makes it easy, so I can kind of see you guys, like, you know, transcend into these professional careers and kind of see where it all takes you. And part of this foundation that you guys are getting here at U of M is super cool. So it's going to be great to see you guys develop.
Yeah, we got a great network in Western Montana and across the state. So it's pretty awesome to be interconnected like this. So thank you.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And you guys always have your home base here too. Yep. Which is super cool. Well, thanks guys. And thanks all for tuning in, and go to the Foresters Bowl.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good one.